and not mention the elections. And I say, you know what? I love expository preaching. It is by far my favorite. But if I skip important topics get skipped. Very, very important, prominent things in our society, we don't get to preach on too much if I just start on one end and go to the other. Of course, we've dedicated our Wednesdays to that. But tonight I do plan to get just a little topical. I hope that's okay. You know, we think about what is about to take place in this week, and I've been praying fervently, and I pray that you're praying fervently. I hope that you're praying fervently as well. Because there's a lot to be decided. And though it doesn't seem like it is more of a crazy one, we have a very big ticket item on this year's election. Well, two for me in particular. One, I would like to see a change in our governorship. And number two, I'd like to see Michigan do what's right by God and not hurt these children. And of course, our other concern there is if things do not go the way of the liberals, we know what they do. I saw an ad and I was talking to somebody in public, and the ad said something along the lines of what Republicans do, and they try to paint us in a bad light, but we want to govern, something along the line of also Democrats don't attack the Capitol. And they go, yeah. And I go, well, I tell you what, it is bad to attack the Capitol. That is a no-no for sure. But I tell you what, I would much rather attack the Capitol than for you to burn down some innocent person's house and business. I would much rather break the doors to the country's Capitol than for hundreds of cars to be burned out and jobs lost and people hurt and dead in the street. I would much rather that. Go with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter 3. I'm trying not to say that, go with me, if you will, because what else are you going to do? It's sermon time. You sit there without your Bible. I'm not turning today, Harold. I'm not turning today. Chapter 3, verse 1 of the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They had a faith. And here we sit today and we see among government and the social pressures these golden images. Well, you see, we have to have legalized abortions. And by the way, have you noticed what I've noticed? They don't use the phrase abortion without two little caveats, right? This candidate, they don't believe in abortions, not even for rape and incest. I hate using those words from the pulpit, but there they are. And you notice how they can't say the A word without the other two. You want to know why? Because there was a poll put up, and they found out that many of the legislatures would not get on board for abortions without that phrase. You see, government is by far the best marketing group that we have ever seen. We talked this morning about the way these proposals are written. The way the proposals, the way the legislature, the way the legislature, the legislation is written to confuse and to confound and to pack so much in there, you can't possibly study it before they take it to a vote. And as a matter of fact, many of the things, many of the laws that get passed in our country are passed under the name of a completely different bill that has nothing to do with the thing we're talking about. Well, I tell you what, well, we'll do your thing with the school buses. You know, have them stop it there. But you also have to pack in this kind of a budget for this extra project that we want to do. And you see hundreds of things tacked onto something. But all we ever hear is, guess what? The school bus has got to stop at the railroad tracks. They don't talk about the pork. They don't talk about that. We don't get to talk about the failures of some of these politicians that we are putting there. Why? Because we need a golden image. And when we as the Democratic Party tell you that this person is a stand-up person, you need to bow down to that. When we tell you that this is what needs to happen in the school system, you need to bow down to that. And when we open the polls, you need to be there and do things our way, or you are a bigot, or you are a homophobe, or you are a racist, or you are a fascist. I don't know about you, but that is not how adults do things. Children do that way, by the way. Now listen, you're going to do this or you're not my friend anymore. Remember doing that when you were a kid? Remember kids doing that? How did we elect them? How did they get that far? Never having aged past fifth grade. Well, you see, there's huge holes in your argument there, racist. No, I'm just telling you that don't add up. Oh, so now things have to add up properly to your... You can't even grade kids on math anymore without it being racist. Without it being... You can't tell them they're wrong because it hurts their feelings and it stops them from being able to learn. It causes stress. So you give them points based on what they got right. What are we doing? They're affecting our children. They're affecting our day-to-day lives. And I am so sorry sometimes to have to sit among people in this country that so dishonor God. Now, it is easy from time to time when I talk about things of politics that it almost kind of seems like, well, if there's nothing we can do and we really shouldn't be stressed, maybe I'll just do nothing. No, we have a responsibility to, when they are playing the music, when they are opening the polls, for us to stand up, for us to do what we're supposed to be doing. Well, why would you vote that way concerning abortion? That doesn't make any sense. Don't you want to be kind? What about these people that are assaulted? What about these people? Listen, I understand the heartbreak and intensity of that. I've got all kinds of compassion for that. But what I cannot get over is that is a human being. That there are verses in Scripture that talk about how even in the womb, God knew me. We're taking somebody that God knows, and we are ending their lives. You better believe I'm going to show up to the polls on that. You better believe I'm going to talk about that. You know, for those of you that write it in, you better believe you better be writing that in. No, I would never participate in that. And yet we are told, well, no, this is the golden image we set up. And if you can't see the emperor's clothes, there's something wrong with you. You see, you either agree with us without any question, or you're a fool, or a bigot, or a racist, or a homophobe. We had a guy in our class, Ryan Mays. He accused me of being homophobic. And I go, there's absolutely nothing about you I'm afraid of, buddy. You know, him and I were rivals. We competed for everything. I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid you're going to die and go to hell. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of you. You don't bother me. You don't scare me. There's nothing about you I'm afraid is going to jump across this table and get me. I'm concerned about your soul. I don't have hatred towards these people out there who have gone and gotten abortions. No doubt I have preached messages like this in front of people who have gotten them. It is not my desire to stir up strife. It is not my desire to hurt people's feelings or to bash people's souls. It is simply this: we can't let it keep happening. We cannot. As these men stood before the king, they said, "We are not careful. We're not careful." I mentioned that this morning. If they ever came for people for hate speech, I'm hung. Please send money to my commissary. I'm going to buy some ramen. Listen, we ought not to be ashamed of what we believe in. I'm not a big fan of this. Well, agree to disagree. You might be right. No, if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. And I'm not here to apologize for it. I am not careful in this. Listen, I cannot be the only one, as young as I am, looking at this world going, suddenly I don't recognize this image of our world you've set up. And by the way, it is an image. Most people are not down with what we see on modern media. Most people do not agree with it. You got the kids. You got the nuts that paid too much for an education they couldn't make money off of. You got them, you got the entertainers, and we know about those Hollywood people. We know what kind of people they are. And they try to paint this golden image. All kids can be any gender they want. Oh, you can have all the abortions, you can be as promiscuous as you want, as long as you do this and that, you're fine. But those same clowns are not there when their lives fall apart. We have to be. As preachers of the Word of God, as representatives of heaven, it is our responsibility to be there in the beginning to say, "Thou shalt not." It is our responsibility to stand up and say, "This is why it's wrong." And yes, there are times when we have to come in when it's all said and done and the wheels have fallen off of their lives and we've got to help them put them back on. We ought to be a little bit angry about this golden image. What we need is more government. What we need is more freedom for the kids to be able to do whatever they want. What we need is exactly what the government says we need. That's not how I see America. What we need is to get back to some basic biblical principles. I mean, you see the problems that we have out there. You see these teachers, there's nothing they can do to the temper tantrums. I saw this on video. There was a kid, a teacher was filming this kid whipping scissors across the room, emptying out crayon boxes, and there's nothing the teacher could do about it because you can't put a hand on the kid. You could call administration, but they will tell you that you're the teacher, you've got to handle something. You can't write the kid up because mom and dad will come in and scream at you for it. So you know what a lot of teachers are doing? You know what a lot of teachers are doing. They're quitting. You know, if they're giving $15 over at McDonald's, I'll go over at McDonald's. At least there I can throw fries back. It's the truth. And they say, well, we are the solution. Look at what you're doing with it. You're making a mess. We'll legalize marijuana. It's the best thing for us. Everyone will be super happy. Things have gotten worse in this state. And that's not some bigoted preacher's opinion. The driving has gotten worse. The parenting has gotten worse. The sense of responsibility, cleanliness, and ownership of their own property has gotten worse. You look around and you go, whew. 20 years ago, nobody would ever leave their house like that. Nobody would ever do that. And now we see it more and more and more. But the government says it's okay. What we have is a room full of clowns that can't agree with each other. And we're hoping if we get the right clowns in there, we'll get a problem. No. We need to go back to biblical basics. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had proper names. They had proper Jewish names. They didn't ask for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be put on them. They didn't ask to be brought into this country. They didn't ask for all those things. As a matter of fact, they obeyed the Lord when everybody else failed. This golden image is your idea, not ours, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to bow to that. And that is where we stand. This weird image of the America that you want, you've set it up, but you don't you dare expect me to bow to it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have to ask that you pick me up and put me in that fiery furnace before I shut up about it. We live in a world that's in rebellion. We live in a country that has erected many golden images of nonsense. Just nonsense. And they ask us to participate or be called names. Folks, I was a fat kid in middle school. Go ahead, call me names. Don't hurt no more. I'm an adult. Right? I went through it. I went through the whole thing. First grade on up, we called each other names. We picked on each other. You can't hurt me like that. Well, you just hate people. No, I love people. That's why I preach. If I hated you, I'd keep my mouth shut. I would. Well, you know, there was all these people in your life, Matt, that you could have given the gospel to, but you didn't. Yeah, but they wouldn't listen anyway. I don't like them. All they did was cause our country trouble. So I figured if they were going to rebel anyway, let them go ahead. I don't want that blood on my hands. I'd rather stand before the Father and say, I obeyed every opportunity I could. I loved my enemy the way you told me to. I loved my neighbor the way you told me to. I did the job you asked me to do. I'd much rather stand before the Father with all the things that he's given me, with that in my hand, than they were going to say no anyway. Now, if I hated people, I'd keep my mouth shut. But love reaches out with the gospel. Love reaches out with the truth. And we look back at this world with all of their golden images and we have to tell it, I'm not bowing. I'm not going along with this. You want to outvote me? You'll at least have to look at my vote. You want to, you even if you cheat the system and you throw my vote away, I want you to have the good displeasure of having to do it. I'll take that 3 seconds of your time as you put it into the shredder. I was joking. I found out the medication that I took. Thank you for that, by the way. The medication that I took was the same medication they put the politicians on. And I joked about that with a friend. And they said, well, does that mean we need to watch how you vote? And I said, no, I applied for special dispensation to get a little helper. And even if I still mess it up, I hear they edit it for you anyway. So no worries. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination, but when you sit there and you see the videos that some people took of these counters, and they've got a new sheet over here and they're filling in ballots, and they're taking other ballots and they're throwing them away, and they're taking this stack of blank ones that you just filled out and they're putting it over there, I'm wondering if my name was written the same way I wrote it when they counted my votes. You're at least going to have to toss that out. I'm going to make you look at my name when you tell that lie. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. See, in this country, we vote based off of our good conscience. My conscience has been broken and rebuilt by the Heavenly Father, written by the Word of God. So when I vote on it, I'm going to vote the way I think God would want me to vote. And if you want to take the risk at that last shot of rebellion, that's on you. I'd rather you didn't. You're going to rather you didn't. But you're going to have to lie to fix me. But I'm not going to bow. And we bow in a lot of ways. These three men, you know what they could have done? We'll bow, but we just don't mean it. Right? Hey, listen, we'll tell God we're sorry later. But I don't want to go into a fiery furnace. You want to go into a fiery furnace? No. We'll just bow, but we'll bow with our fingers crossed. You know? That is not obedience to the Father. It's not. Because we are supposed to be the salt and the light. In particular, as we read in Scripture just recently, that light is not supposed to be hid, is it? We've got no call to hide our rights. We've got no call for it. Therefore, when you ask my opinion, I must give you the Heavenly Father's. You know what my God says? My God says that's a human being. He knows us in that womb. No. You know what? When I look at this proposal here, and I see where I do not have to use my photo ID to get my mail-in ballots. And I see in there a loophole you could use so that my vote would not be my vote. Or that I could pass away and because there's no updating of it, someone could get a hold of my vote. And you want me to put that in the Michigan State Constitution? No thanks. No thanks. You know, you look over at the governor and all the things that she's done, all the horrible stuff. I'm ready to have her out. I'm sure you are too. I went and I had to find, I got a special snow globe in 2020. Not a big snow globe fan, but I got a special snow globe. Remember back when we weren't allowed to meet with our families and we weren't allowed to be in groups of more than five, which, you know, if you have six people in your family, what are you going to do? I probably would have been the one voted out, to be honest with you. I found somebody selling these snow globes, and the snow globe was this beautiful Thanksgiving get-together, right? Pumpkin pie and turkey, it's all beautiful on the inside. But on the outside of the window of the house in this picture was Governor Whitmer just looking in the window with a serious face. What are you doing? 1, 2, 3, 4, that's 7. I thought it was hilarious. I still think it's hilarious. I giggle at it every time, and every now and then I get angry and I just grab it and I shake it. You know, what did we do to the sick people? Oh, we took COVID patients, we put them in the nursing home, and we lost so many thousands of people. Drives me nuts. Get her out of there. What about her legend? That right there is enough for me. I could probably write a book. in the way Governor Whitmer made God angry, but I'm starting on that chapter. What buffoonery do we allow in this state? Oh, think of all the stuff. We got the kids back to school. Ding-a-ling, you took them out of the school. We balanced the budget. You killed all the old people. Of course you did. There was no money spent out for them. Oh, the anger. Well, you didn't balance the budget. You legalized drugs and took the money. Anybody could balance a budget if you legalize drugs. I say no. That's not what we should be doing. Because I know what my God said. Why do you vote the way you do? Well, Rush Limbaugh. Now, don't get me wrong. Rush was funny. I liked Rush. He had an attitude about him I liked. But he is never supposed to be the benchmark of our morality. I was sad to see him go. I really was. But not the benchmark for our decision making. I know what my God says about telling the truth. I know what my God says about life. I know what my God says about our responsibility to each other. I know what my God says about doing things to your body. I know. So I can't participate in that. That's a no from me. And I tell you what, I did as many of you have. I decided a long time ago that my decisions would be based on what he had to say. So there's nothing you can tell me that's going to pull me off of this. I don't care what words you use. You're not going to be able to pull me off of this. As a matter of fact, I would even dare to say that once I've cracked into the mystery and enigma of what it is these people are trying to say, when I can really boil it down to common terms that I can understand, in the end, it's not a hard decision. Once all the terms and the verbal linguistics are all simplified, it is very rarely a difficult decision. Because when you take away the balloons and the streamers and all the fancy things they wrap around these ridiculous policies, it's clear to see it for what it is. You know, there's a reason, and I mentioned this before, there's a reason why we have to talk about abortion the way that we do. And that is because it is very difficult to get politicians on board with it if we don't use certain words. And I'm going to use them, and please forgive me, but rape and incest being them, we have to include that. What about for medical things? Now, notice how they don't talk about that too much in Michigan. You want to know why? Because that's already on the books. If the child will kill the mother, the child's not viable, it's already legal right now for that to take place. What they will say is that it's possible for us to lose that. Back in 2004, when they took a survey, they were very careful with the options that they gave women as to why they were having an abortion. Such reasons as victims of rape. Do you know what percentage in 2004... of abortions on the national level took place because of that? It's 0.5%. 2004, 0.5. Not 5%, 0.5. Half a percent. 3% was because of fetal health problems. 4% because of the physical health problems. 4% because it would interfere with their education or career, 7% because they're not mature enough to raise a child, 8% because they don't want to be a single mother, 19% because they said they are done having children, 23% because they can't afford a baby, 25% because they are not ready for a child, and 6% other. Less than 10% would have hurt the mother. Want to hear some more modern statistics? Florida did something gnarly. They decided that what they were going to do is they were going to change the options. And you had to answer differently. Now, Florida, for all of their insanity, they come up with some good stuff every now and then. Let's read how they put it together in 2020. 0.01%. because the pregnancy resulted from an incestuous relationship. Now, folks, that's in every ad. We've got to have it for that reason. 0.01. The other one was for assault. 0.15. The woman's life was endangered by the pregnancy. 0.20. We're still not at quite 1%, are we? I'm bad at math. Help me out. 0.98%, there was a serious fetal anomaly, which, remember, we do not think the child's quality of life will be sufficient to let it live. 0.98%. 1.48%. The woman's physical health was threatened by the pregnancy. Not their life, but their health. And I understand that. I got you. 1.88%. The woman's psychological health was threatened by the pregnancy. Whew. 20.4%. The woman aborted for social or economic reasons. Now, again, I want to remind you, we've got a country where they'll pay you to have kids. Right? It's not perfect. It's not wonderful. It's ramen, hot dogs, and mac and cheese, but it's not bad. It's possible. 74.9%. 74.9% of abortions took place in Florida in 2020 for no reason. Literally, that was the option they put down. You had to fill in the bubble. No reason fill in the bubble. Of all these options, no reason other than we don't want the child. So when I see those advertisements, I want to be ill. When I see the way that they built this golden image, I want to tear it down. I want to melt it. I want to grind it into ash. I want them to drink it. Because it makes me sick. They paint up this golden image of why we need it. But it is a lie. It's, you know how many people we lost? And I'm going to switch back to our dear sweet governor. Do you know how many people in our country died in nursing homes? 200,000. Ballparking it. Most of those were in 5 states where the governors, and it was only those 5, by the way, used the nursing homes as staging places for people with COVID. That number would be nowhere near as high if 5 people didn't take their pen out and sign people's lives away. But after all, what quality of life can you have in a nursing home? What quality of life can you have if you work at a nursing home? So after all, doesn't it make sense? Do you see the evil in it? You see the evil that it would take to pick up a pen and sentence all those thousands of people to die? Well, we didn't know. We got to have amnesty. We need COVID amnesty where we forgive. I'll forgive you, but you still have to answer for the blood on your hands. If you found out, right, if somebody in your family was murdered and you found out who it was and it was your neighbor and your neighbor came over and said, listen, I am sorry. And you know the Bible says you ought to forgive them. So you get down on your knees. You say, Lord, give me the strength to forgive them. And you get up and you forgive that guy. Would you not still expect them to go to jail? Would you let them babysit your kids? That's what the government's asking us to do. That's what old Governor Whitmer wants us to do. And I am very sorry. But I cannot pray to my Heavenly Father and know that I sat silently and didn't use my vote and didn't speak up. Didn't preach sermons like this while this evil is going on. And of course, as I read through all of those abortion statistics, none of them really matter. Right? It's when we talk about divorce. Those statistics, all 50%, they don't matter anymore. You want to know why? Because people aren't getting married anymore. Want to know why abortion statistics don't really matter anymore? Because you can walk right on down to Walmart and buy a pill. We've lost count now. And there's no way to get it back. And then there was somebody, they were talking, they were so proud of it. They're like, oh, you must really hate that we can just go and pop a pill now and never have that pregnancy. I go, yeah, but you know who's really excited? Who? People who assault their children. And now they can hide the pregnancies without actually having to go to a doctor. And they can just perpetuate that violence over and over and over again. You just got to hop up to the Walmart, go over to Walgreens, buy that pill, and that poor child's abuse is never spoken of. Well, the kid will say something for sure. For sure the kid will say something. Two out of three of victims of that kind of abuse don't say anything. And I don't pick on them for it, because I know why they don't say anything. We've allowed some serious evil to take place. And we have the opportunity to stand up and say no. No, I'm not participating in this. You're not using my tax dollars that way. You're not gonna have any peace from me while this is taking place. We have to make it their problem. We have to make it their problem. Well, we don't believe in God. Yeah, but I do, and you're going to have to hear from me. Because whether you like it or not, you're going to stand before Him. You see, I've made my decision. I know I'm going to follow the Lord. I know I'm going to make decisions based on Him. I know that as my entity, as a citizen of this country, I'm going to perform my duties. That's decided. My move's been made. The next move is theirs. You got an opportunity to be honest. You have an opportunity to do the right thing. And if they choose to do the wrong thing and try to throw away my vote or put me in a fiery furnace, shut me up, lock me up in jail, well, that's not the last move. My God gets the last move. My God does. You see, we like to play a game in our house, and Caspian's learning it, and Xander's getting pretty good at it. And basically, it's a strategy game. And what I do is we build up our little cities, and then we say, go. And it's up to them to come and attack me. And they've got to work together, and I give them about 20 minutes to come and then what I do? I come in and I wipe them all out. They think they're winning. They think, well, we got the media. We got the college kids. We've got the children. We've got so many people out there with their with all of their problems and all of their issues, and we've got them to blame each other for them. They'll do whatever we ask of them, because the only solution to this problem is government. We've got massive global warming. What's the answer? Government. We've got racism. What's the answer? Government legislates morality. Hey, did you guys hear about this one? We're missing like 11 billion crabs. Right now, I don't know which one of you hit the buffet, but what are we going to do? Well, the government's going to step in and say no fishing. And for you hundreds of people who have fishing businesses, you know, McDonald's again, 15 bucks an hour. Government help. Tim Hawkins, Tim Hawkins is a Christian comedian, and he wrote this song. And you remember the Willy Wonka, right? He wrote, there's that song in there, The Candyman. And this one was called The Government Can, written to that thing. You know, who could take your money, tell you to behave, right? Give bailouts out. Well, the government can. The government can because they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. And that's what they're doing. And there's people going, oh, the government's awful. And what we need is more government. We're like addicts buying these scratch-off lottery tickets. Oh, let me get $30 on those things. Woo, I won $5. Give me $5 more. What are we doing? We need more government. It's just more sinners putting more money in their pockets. And that's a bummer. There's one thing on there I liked. I like some transparency in the government, don't you? I'd like to know what these guys are, where these guys are getting their money, how they're spending their money, because it is very easy. And a lot of politicians make money that way. They get there, they change policy, and they bet on the change that they just made somehow with their investment dollars. And I would have loved that! But you paired it up against something I couldn't vote for. Why? They know why. They know why. They're going to have to make the next move. But we can rest assured on this, they won't make the last move. They won't make the last move. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to make it harder for churches to do what they want to do. Go ahead. I'll play on hard mode. I became a pastor during COVID. I can work that out. I'm playing on a hard mode since I got into this thing. Well, then what we'll do is we'll do this and that and we'll put you in jail. Not looking forward to it. Go ahead. We'll see what my Lord allows you to do. And if he allows you to do that, because remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. Even if he doesn't, we're trusting him. Well, you think your God will keep you out of jail? If he don't, still following him. You think your God will help? Will stop us from shutting down your church? If he don't, following him anyway. And you can shut down my building, but you can't shut down this church. Because we're not big conglomerates. We're not these billion-dollar crystal palace people. We'll get together and make it look like a barbecue. Well, then what we'll do is we'll take your kids away. You try. And even if my God lets you, I'm following him. And I'm going to sit there and watch what he does to you. And I'm going to be there. If he lets you stand, I'm going to be there to give you the gospel one more time. No matter what happens, my God is on the throne. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, they did not belong in that country. I don't belong in this country. You don't belong in this country. I've got a dual citizenship. I am more of a citizen of heaven than I am here in America. And I'll tell you what, I've never even seen heaven. And I'd much rather call it home. Now, folks, look at me, please. I love this country. I love this country as much as any child of God could. I love how she was founded. And yes, we have problems. Yes, we did some bad stuff. Yes, yes, yes. But every other country out there did it too. Well, you Americans, you had slavery. There were countries that had it even after us. And as a matter of fact, there were people from other countries that you love so well and you idolize that sold our slaves to us. There ain't a perfect country out there. But I sure like mine. You know, we're here today, lights all on. We got a sign out front. You know what we're doing in here. There's countries out there, you can't do that. I got up behind that pulpit and I said some audacious things about our government. And I'm allowed to do that because this is America. I love our country. I'm not sitting there trying to throw her under the rug. I love our country, but she's sick. She needs repentance. And there is absolutely no way I'm going to sit silent and watch her die. The Lord doesn't preserve her, the Lord doesn't preserve her, but it's not going to be because I kept my mouth shut and my vote in my pocket. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this country belongs to you. And no matter what the politicians, no matter what this world says, there is not an ounce of this earth that does not belong to you. Father, I ask this, that you reach down your hands and you take control of our state, you take control of our country, and that, Father, one more time, if it's for the last time, you cause revival to break out in our country. Lord, help us to throw aside the marijuana. Help us to preserve and protect the lives of babies. Help us, Lord, to get rid of these diabolical politicians. And Lord, help us to put people in there that got a good sense of you. People who are open to you and will listen to you. But Father, I pray this, that you never let us grow timid. Let us be vocal. Let us be voting. Let us be taking our stances in our day-to-day lives, pointing others towards you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.